Good morning. It's so good to have everybody here today.
Okay, we are going to get them ready for translation.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Oh, very good. Well, good. So. Okay. So somebody is going to translate so that and here is something that I've made it a little bit easier for people. Did everyone get a sermon handout? Is there anybody in the room that did not get this sermon handout? Do we have some ushers that would please serve these wonderful people? We need one right here. We need everybody to get a sermon handout, okay? I think there's some extras back there on the table. We made 100. If you didn't get one, we need one right here. We need one right here. And Maria, we need one over there. Just make sure. And while they're passing these out, the reason why I printed this is that I have found in multi-language services, this is so much easier to follow. So while I'm doing this today, Pastor Jamil, you could actually just summarize the points because it's right here in front of you. Okay? And so for you who only understand Arabic, you can actually take this home or you can have somebody work with you in English and they could read that to you. So another reason why I do this, Pastor Ryan, is somebody told me that people forget 90% of what the pastor says in the first 24 hours. So Dr. Washington, in fact, I'm so grateful to have Dr. Washington here today. This is her second Sunday, and she lives about 2 minutes away. Can we give her a hand? It's good to have her here today. And she's a world traveler for Jesus, and it's so good to have her a part of the church today. And so I just want to bring you greetings from 82 Nazarene churches that are scattered all over the greater Chicago area. And I want to bring you greetings from 30,700 Nazarene churches around the world who are worshiping this morning in over 200 languages and who are worshiping in about 30,700 different congregations. So this last week, let me just give you an update. This last week in the Church of the Nazarene, we started 23 new churches somewhere in the world. And this last week, we had over 1,560 new people that joined the church. 1,562. And here's the good news. We have been doing that every Sunday for the last 10 years. Every Sunday, the church is growing. And so that is the commitment of the Nazarene Church to multiply. So we are so grateful that you are here in this Nazarene Church today in this combined service. And so as I have been praying about this service, I was telling Pastor Ryan yesterday, I sat down and in about 5 hours, I wrote a message that I've never preached before. And I did it because I felt like the Lord wanted me to prepare a message for both of these congregations. And as I was writing it, the Lord helped me, I think, to understand that this is a message not just for two churches, but there are new husbands and wives today who need to hear this message. There are people who may have been married for 25 years that need to hear this message. There are people who are in a work situation that you are having difficulty with somebody who is a difficult person to work with at work. And so today's message is taken out of the Bible on what the Bible has to say about building great relationships. Because there's so much practical wisdom in the Bible as it relates to how we're supposed to relate to one another. Whether it's in a family, whether it's in a neighborhood, whether it's in a job, whether it's in a company, whether it's in a church, you're going to be able to make it if you can learn how to build great relationships. If you can't build or learn how to build great relationships, life is going to be really hard for you. So the Bible actually has some practical wisdom on how we can build great relationships. And Jesus is the model of how we do that. So if you have your Bible, I want to call your attention to the outline, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 7. And you have been sitting for just a little bit. Let's stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Beginning with verse number 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the flames, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Christian love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor other people. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The theme of this morning's message is building great relationships. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for every person here today. We are grateful for every church member. We're grateful for every attender. We're grateful for every guest. We're grateful for every person who came today who has an open heart to want to listen to Jesus Christ and what He wants to teach us today through the Holy Spirit. And we pray this day that You would come and be our teacher. Bless these two churches as they become one family. Bless their pastors. Bless their boards. Bless their ministries. Bless their members. Bless their outreach. And Father, most importantly, bless their relationships so that our relationships operate at the level that the Bible says Christian relationships should always be. May we strive to be like Jesus in everything we say and do so that it will be said of us, as Jesus said so long ago, they will know you are Christians by the way you practice love in your relationships. So thank you for helping us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. How many of you have ever used Facebook? Anybody ever use Facebook? We got some people. So how many of you have ever opened Facebook and seen online somebody who has been behaving badly? Now, this next statement probably won't surprise you, rudeness in America, being unkind in America, is on the rise. A survey released a few months ago reveals that a lack of love, a lack of bad relationships, a lack of not treating people right on social media has been hurting people's relationships all over the United States, literally worldwide. As America's use of social media has surged, the survey has found that incivility in our culture has dramatically increased. 78% of the 2,698 people surveyed reported an increase in conflict, an increase of bad relationships, an increase of people being unkind online. A lack of great relationships, not having solid, loving relationships, is on the rise all over America. It's happening in homes, in families, in jobs, in neighborhoods. Common courtesy is becoming too uncommon. So today I want to talk about how in the Church of the Nazarene we're different. We believe that Christians who are very different from each other, who have different backgrounds, who have different life experiences, who have different ethnic heritages, we believe these people, they can build great relationships with each other, even if they're very different, because they practice being Christian. We believe in the church our behavior can become so much different than the behavior we find out in the world. And so the world may say today, well, if you don't like it, lump it. Get used to it. Mind your own business. Just grow up. We're going to do it my way. That is the way that Jesus has said we should not operate. And every one of us has experienced people who have talked or acted unkind. I've experienced this since moving to Chicago. We, Denise and I, have lived here about 4 years now. And, you know, you ever had this? People who honk their horn in a traffic jam. So what good is it to lay your hand on the horn when nobody can move anywhere? Or people who come from the opposite direction in a parking lot. You know, you're waiting really nicely, and you have sat there for a couple of minutes waiting for the person, and you were there first, but they steal your parking space, and they pull right in front of you. You've been patiently anticipating you're going to get into that spot. While the other person is pulling out, they cut right in front of you, being unkind. Now, one of the most important responsibilities of the church in this kind of a culture, I believe, is for us to model and to teach how we should behave as professing Christians. And how we build great relationships that show the world that we are following Jesus the Nazarene, and our behavior is at a very different level than the kind of behavior in the world. And so what I want to talk about today is really foundational for two different churches that are coming together. But this will apply to marriages, it'll apply to neighborhoods, it'll apply to homes, it'll apply to newlyweds, it'll apply to people who are not married, who are just trying to build relationships in the community. How we build great relationships in homes and families, as Nazarene Christians, how we want to always behave. What does the Bible say? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is never self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So what does Jesus feel should be the primary measure of whether or not we are behaving as Christians? It's the quality of our love in our relationships. Now, you may be thinking, well, Pastor Larry, that sounds all good, but can you give me something practical? Steps I can take to building great relationships. Well, I'm so glad you asked. So if you'll take out your outline, we're going to go through some really practical things that the Bible says about relationships. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 gives us a great answer. Would you just read this? This is something I wish we could actually send to Congress so that everybody in Washington, D.C. would learn how to do this. Amen? So would you read this with me out loud if you can read in English? Read this with me out loud. Show proper respect to everyone. Show proper respect, the Bible says, to everyone. Now I want you to circle that word everyone in your mind. As Christians, we are to show proper respect to everybody. Your husband, your wife, your children, that difficult person to work with, people that we don't even know, your mother-in-law, Catholics, Protestants, Democrats, Republicans, unbelievers, Muslims, Hindus, atheists, people you don't agree with, the government. God says, as a Christian, I am to show proper respect. I am to love and respect everybody. Now, you may be thinking, but Pastor Larry, why should we love and respect everyone? That is a great question. So let me give you four reasons the Bible says that you and I should treat everyone we meet with love and respect. Here they are. Number one, the first reason you and I should treat everyone with love and respect is because God made everybody. Psalm 8:5 says, God made mankind a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. The Bible teaches people are the crown of God's creation. Even that despicable person, that unlovely person, that hard to love person, that person that is making life difficult for you, God says, I made them, every one of them. And because every person is created by God, God says every person deserves love and respect. Now, the second reason we treat everyone with love and respect is because, number two, Jesus died for everyone. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, this is what it says in the Message translation. I love this translation of the Bible once in a while. Listen to this. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished, sacrificial lamb. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everyone. You know what? This shows how valuable people are. The cross of Jesus shows how valuable every person is. In fact, God thought enough that he sent Jesus to die for every person. And Jesus watches you and me to see how we treat the other people he died for. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, it actually says that at the final judgment, Jesus taught we will be judged by how we as people treat other people, on how we've treated people. Listen to this. Jesus said, I was sick and you cared for me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was in prison and you visited me. And we'll say, well, Lord, when did we do that to you? And Jesus said, any time that you did that to the least, that neglected person, that unloved person that you stopped and hugged, any time you did it to them, you did it to me. That's how important this is. That's how important Jesus thinks this is. We're to treat everybody with love and respect because God created everybody and Jesus died for everybody. Then here's a third reason that God says we should treat everybody with love and respect. It's because number three, it shows that we know God. How do you know that you're a real believer in God, in Jesus? How do you prove you're a real Christian? Well, God says you look at your relationships. 1 John 4:8 says this from the Message. It says, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. So why the Bible says God is love? God says, I can have all the beliefs of the church straight. I can have all the Bible verses in the world memorized. I can attend church for decades. But if I don't have this kind of love in my attitudes, this kind of love in my relationships, I'm missing something. Because I follow Jesus the Nazarene, I choose to live a life of love. And Jesus was such a powerful example of this. He was so gracious with people. He always protected people's dignity and respect and worth regardless of what they had done. Do you remember what happened in John chapter 8? The Pharisees, the quote-unquote church people of Jesus' day, brought him a lady who had been caught in the act of adultery. They threw her down at Jesus' feet. They were incredibly rude, incredibly incriminating, and they had all their beliefs straight, at least in their mind, but their attitudes were horrible toward people. And Jesus, the first thing he did was to protect the lady's worth and dignity. Jesus defended her in front of everybody, and he said to her accusers, let the person who is without sin, you can cast the first stone. And you know what? The Bible says they all started dropping their rocks. And one by one they left. And in response, it's only Jesus and the woman who remains. And Jesus, in one-on-one, he expressed his love to her. He expressed his acceptance of her, and he challenged her to leave her life of sin. He always treated people with love and respect. And you know what? He expects every person here today and those who are watching online, he expects them to do the same. And then the fourth reason God gives for us treating other people with love and respect is because we always receive what we give to other people. Galatians 6:7 from the Phillips translation says this, a person's harvest in life will depend entirely on what they sow. This is a principle throughout the Bible. What we call sowing and reaping. Whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. In another way to say it, what goes around comes around. The point is this, whatever in life you need, give it away. And that's how we receive. Would you like to be loved by other people? Then give love. Would you like to be respected by other people? Then give respect. What you give out is what you're always going to get back. If you want to be treated graciously, we've got to be gracious to people. If we want people to smile at us, you know what? We need to learn how to smile. If you ignore people, guess what? People are going to ignore you. God says whatever you sow into people's lives, you're going to reap out of it. And you know the kind, if you just take a look across the board, kind people, loving people, people who live a life of love, they're happier people than the people who don't live that way. They don't go around angry. They don't go around being frustrated and critical of people. They don't go around with a chip on their shoulder. So you may be thinking, okay, Pastor Larry, I understand the reasons why God would want us to treat other people with respect, but can you give us some more practical, really practical things we can do? I am so glad you asked that question. So in the last part of this message, I want to give you, whether it's a relationship as an individual, relationships in families, whether it's these two churches coming together on your job, in your home, in your neighborhood, I want to offer you three simple ways the Bible says that we can give love and respect in a really practical way. Here they are. Number one, when you speak to other people, always be tactful, not just truthful. It always begins with how we talk. Because the primary way we build great relationships with people is with our words. Proverbs 15:23 from the Good News Translation says this, "What a joy it is to find just the right word for just the right occasion." What God's talking about here is tact. Tactfulness is thinking before you speak. The way you speak can either enhance what you say or detract from what you say. Because a lot rides on how we choose to speak to each other. In our families, in our homes, in our churches, if we're going to develop great relationships in our lives, a key foundation of effective relationships is tactfulness, developing tact, learning how to say the right thing in the right way. Tactfulness is relational lubrication. It minimizes friction between people. Now, as Christians, yes, we are called to be truthful. But folks, we're also called to be tactful. So let me give you a couple of definitions of tact. Tact is what you thought about but didn't say. Y'all tracking with me? Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when somebody tells you to go jump off the cliff, and the way they say it, they make you look forward to the trip. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about when sometimes they don't. Now, what does the Bible say? The Apostle Paul is talking about tact when he writes in Ephesians 4:15, "Speak the truth in love." Proverbs 15:4 says, "Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit." When we speak to people, we must always be tactful, not just truthful. Now, a second way we give love and respect practically to others is when we are served by other people, always be understanding, not demanding. Luke 6:31, Jesus said, you all know the golden rule. Would you read this with me out loud? Let's read this out loud together in English, okay? If you can read English, let's read this out loud together. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Let's read this one more time. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, we call that the golden rule. Now, you want people to be demanding of you? Well, no. Do you want them to be understanding of you? Yes. So we treat other people the way we want to be treated, to be understanding, not demanding. And you know, one of the most understanding people that I know is my wife, Denise. This is one of her great, great qualities. She's one of the most understanding people that I know. And Sammy, she has to be to put up with me, okay? So Proverbs 16:21 says this, "A wise, mature person is known for their understanding, The more pleasant their words, the more persuasive they are. Now, the Bible says the way we're persuasive is that we learn to be pleasant. Never forget, you're never persuasive when you're abrasive. In fact, would you say that with me? You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. You will always catch more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. Kindness is showing love in the little things with each other. Kindness is made up of little sacrifices. It's made up of little adjustments. Being willing to do things like change your time of your worship service. These are adjustments. These are changes that people make for each other. That churches make. They accommodate each other. So when we give up for one another, you know, it's the little things that so easily irritate in a relationship. And it's the little things that make a big difference in a relationship when we pay attention. So God says, if you are a Christian, number two, remember, be understanding, not demanding. And then a third way God says we can give love and respect is that when we disagree with people. Anybody ever had a disagreement with somebody? When we disagree with people, be gentle, not judgmental. Be gentle, not judgmental. When we disagree. As a Christian, there are a lot of things in the world I disagree with. There's a lot of things that are happening these days. There's a lot of lifestyles. There's a lot of behavior. There's a lot of habits. There's a lot of attitudes. There's a lot of stuff out in the world that I just don't agree with. And do you know that sometimes even inside the church, Christians get some kind of an issue that they don't agree with either. So what does God think about this? What are we supposed to do with disagreements between Christians? Disagreements that happen in the church. Are we supposed to run around as a personal policeman trying to police other Christians? Trying to convince people that they need to change to agree with us? Clearly in the Bible, God lays out an attitude. Because the first thing, the most important thing that people need to feel from us is love and respect. Listen to this in the Bible. God tells us in Romans chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in a brother or sister's way. You see, there are two things I need to remember when I disagree with other people. Whether it's their behavior or standards or habits or beliefs that are non-essential to salvation or whatever it is. Two things I need to remember. Number one, I need to realize that every one of us is going to give an account to God someday. All of us will give an account to God. That's the first thing I need to remember. The second thing I need to remember is this. I need to realize I'm not God. I'm not God. Other people are going to give an account, not to me. They're going to give an account to Him. So good people can disagree with me. They can disagree with each other. And sometimes they can be major issues. But you know what? God expects us as Christians to disagree without being disagreeable. Our compelling characteristic, Jesus said, people will know you're my followers by the quality of your relationship, by the way you treat other people. So here's the last verse I want to share with you. James 3, 17 says this, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. Never argumentative, never destructive, never demeaning. So when you have to shoot the arrow of truth, and we have to from this pulpit, but when you shoot the arrow of truth, you need to make sure that we're dipping the arrow in honey. Never forget, Proverbs says we are persuasive when we are pleasant. So I just want to encourage every person here today, as you begin this new year together as two churches using the same building, practice love and practice respect for each other. Have you ever noticed this? The more that machines act like people, the more people are beginning to act like machines. And as the world becomes crowded, as the stress level in people's lives goes up, people can so easily lose practice love and respect. And I just want to say thank you today for your commitment to be a really different kind of community here. Amen. For you focus on being patient. You focus on being kind. You focus on being not easily angered. You focus on not keeping any record of wrongs. And I just hope and pray that the culture and the relationships of Calvary, Church of the Nazarene, and Oaklawn Arabic Church of the Nazarene will be the most kind and courteous church relationships that people here who attend have ever seen and experienced in their life. So when people come into this church family, we want them to say, this church just loves people. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you dress. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. These church people, they just love people. They're kind to people. They're friendly. They say to you, they will always treat you like Jesus would treat you because they are Christian in their respect and in their love. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, this is a very simple message today, but it's an area that I know I need to work on all the time. I need to work on it regularly, and I'm sure people here do too. We will get probably dozens of opportunities this next week when we will have a choice, Lord, to either be kind or not kind, to be patient or not patient, to be proud or not proud, to be self-seeking or not self-seeking, to be easily angered or to stop and check ourselves and not allow anger to take over. We will have the choice, Lord, to either keep a record of wrongs or to let it go. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to make the right choice because we're following Jesus. Amen. Help us to remember that everybody is somebody you created. They matter to you. You died for them. And so I pray, Father, that every person here before they leave would make this better relationships commitment. Would you just pray this prayer that I'm going to lead you in. Just pray it silently in your heart. I challenge you to make this prayer as we close this service the prayer of your heart because God knows it. Heavenly Father, as I speak to other people this week, help me to be tactful, not just truthful. Help me to know the right things to say, and help me to know when I should just be quiet. When I am served this week, Lord, help me to be understanding and never demanding. Father, when I disagree with people, help me to be gentle and never judgmental. I ask for the wisdom that comes from you that is peaceful and gentle, considerate, and submissive, and full of mercy. Help us to demonstrate here in this great Nazarene fellowship that we are Christians because of the way we love people. Amen. And we do this following Jesus the Nazarene. For his name's sake we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.